We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Genesis chapter 12. Find it, please, and when you found it, look up here. I am very, very excited today about the Word of God that we're going to be studying together. We're going to be talking about faith, what it is, how to have it, and what happens when your faith fails, when you have a spiritual blowout on the road to heaven. Well, in just a moment, we're going to be looking in this passage of Scripture. But I want you now to imagine two letters that are sent to the post office. One letter is typed beautifully by a word processor. It is typed on exquisite, expensive stationery. There is not a word misspelled. It is beautifully framed. Everything is perfect. Not a smudge, not a smear. It is perfectly addressed and is placed in the mail. Another letter is written. This letter is written on common note paper, like a yellow legal pad. It's stuffed into an envelope. It is written by pencil. It is full of grammatical errors. It is smudged, dirty. It has erasures on it. But there's a difference in the two letters. The first letter, so beautifully written, has no stamp on it. The second letter, written in pencil with smudges and smears, has a stamp on it. Question, which letter will be delivered? Now, let me tell you something, folks. Faith is the stamp that gets your letter on through. Some people may pray beautiful prayers. I mean, they are eloquent, and they may be right, and the content may be good, but there is no stamp on the letter. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. It is faith that makes the difference. Amen? So we better learn something about faith today. Now, we're going to be studying in the school of faith. And I want to say that life is the classroom in the school of faith. The Bible is the textbook in the school of faith. The apostles and the prophets are the teachers in the school of faith. And Abraham is the dean of that school. The Bible calls him the father of all who believe. And when we think of Abraham, we think of faith. He is the father of the faithful. So we're going to study his faith. We're going to find out how he got his faith, how he used his faith, what faith did in him, through him, and with him, and for him. But we're going to see, now listen to me, we're going to see that even his faith failed at a time. Abraham had a spiritual blowout. We're going to find out why. And then we're going to find out what he did about it. And then you're going to learn. Some of you right now are having difficulty believing God. So this is going to be a wonderful Bible study for us today. And I want you now to read with me Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Now Abram was his name before he had this wonderful experience with God called faith. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now again, I cannot say enough about the importance of faith. Now listen very carefully to me as to why this is so important. Faith is the identifying mark of a Christian. Did you know that Christians were called believers before they were called Christians? Jesus said, to have faith is our chief duty. John 6, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Unbelief is the greatest sin. There's no greater sin than not to believe God. The Bible says in John chapter 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You could say all kinds of nice things about me and then say, but there's just one thing about Adrian, you can't believe him. No matter what else you may have said, you've just cut the taproot of my character. You can say many nice things about God, but friend, if you don't believe God, that's the biggest insult you could give to Almighty God. Unbelief is the mother sin, the father sin, the parent sin, the sin out of which all other sins grow. Your Christian life is to be lived by faith. I want to give you four verses. Don't look them up, but listen to them. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, Romans 1 verse 17, Galatians 3, verse 11, Hebrews 10, verse 38, they all say exactly the same thing. Do you know what it is? The just shall live by faith. Do you think God's trying to tell us something? Four times God uses that exact statement, the just shall live by faith. The way you live your Christian life is not by trying, it is by trusting. The just shall live by faith. Your success in the Christian life is going to be measured by your faith. Matthew 9, verse 29, Jesus said, according to your faith be it unto you. It is faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11, 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But that verse begins with this phrase, but without faith it is impossible to please him. It's faith that enables you to overcome the world. This world is getting so vile and so wicked. How are you going to stand? How are you going to live? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Folks, I'm telling you this, that you're not going to live the Christian life if you don't have a strong faith. Do you believe that? You know, rather than meeting one another on Sunday morning and say, how are you feeling? We ought to start saying, how are you faithing? How are you faithing? Because that's it. That's the bottom line. Now let's look at Abraham and let's see, first of all, the root of his faith. How did Abraham come to be a man of God, a man of faith? Well, look in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Now folks, that's it right there. Faith is rooted in the Word of God. Are you listening? Faith is rooted in the Word of God. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Now, faith is not rooted in human will and human desire. Folks, Abraham did not name it and claim it. God named it and Abraham claimed it. Are you paying attention? God named it. And Abraham claimed it. Let me show you the difference Bible faith and human will and ingenuity. Now, I'm going to tell you something astounding. Chapter 12 follows chapter 11, okay? Now, look, if you will, in chapter 11, you're going to find man's high rise to hell, man's tower of blunders, where man tries to build the Tower of Babel. And notice, if you will, in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4, and they said, now these are the builders of man's civic masterpiece, which was a tower of blunders, and they said, let us, underscore that, build us, underscore that, a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us, underscore that, make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Where did all of this begin? Not in the will of God, but in the wit, the wisdom, and the ingenuity of men. They say, let us, let us, let us, let us. Now, let me show you the difference between that and what God said to Abraham. Just turn back over here in Genesis chapter 12. Now, notice how the first two verses read. And the Lord God said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now, watch this. Into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them. God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. Four times God says it. Four times in Genesis 11, they say, let us, let us, let us. Do you see the difference? Now, folks, faith is rooted in revelation from Almighty God. Faith has to have a word from God. Now, you read there in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4, they said what? Let us make us a name. Well, do you know any of the names of those guys? Somebody stand up and tell me one of the names of them. Hey, you don't know who they are, but I'll tell you, we all know the name of Abraham, do we not? Because it is faith that counts. You see, here was a man. He was a pagan idolater. He lived, chapter 11, verse 31 tells us he lived over in Ur of the Chaldees. He lived in the counterpart of Babylon. He did not know God, but God took this man, a pagan idolater, and made of him a man of faith because God gave him a revelation. God spoke to him. And I'll tell you something else. Not only was he a pagan, he was 75 years old when this happened. You can look at it in verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4. He's 75 years old. Now, I want to say this to anybody listening to me. I don't care how bad you've been, and I don't care how old you are, you can become a person of faith. You can become a person of faith. Here is Abram. He is the father of the faithful. He gets a word from God. Now, let me tell you what faith is. Well, let me tell you what it is not. It is not positive thinking. Now, I like positive thinking, but it's not positive thinking. Faith is not following a hunch. Faith is not hoping for the best. It's good to hope for the best, but faith is not optimism. Faith is not believing what you know ain't so. Faith is getting a word from God. Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now look at it again. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. That's the reason that Bible study is so important. That's the reason that prayer is so important. That's the reason that when you pray, not only should you talk, you ought to listen. And you ought to say, God, speak to me. And God speaks in many, many ways. But you need to hear God in order to have faith. It is rooted in relationship with Almighty God. Now, folks, faith doesn't mean that you're going to understand everything. Abraham did not know why, and he did not know where. Put in your margin Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, now listen to this, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. He did not understand, but he obeyed by faith because he had a word from God. Warren Wiersbe, a great Bible teacher, has said this, faith is not believing in spite of evidence. That is superstition. Faith is obeying God's word in spite of circumstances or consequences. He had a word from God. Now, folks, you've got to hear from God in order to have faith. You're not going to get everything all figured out every time. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only the root of his faith, but the requirement of his faith. Look again in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, the root of faith is a word from God. The requirement of faith is to be separated from sin. Get out that I might bring you in. You see, faith brings us out that it might bring us in. So many people want to live in the land of faith and the land of idolatry at the same time. Listen to me. Folks, you are not going to have faith until you're willing to be separated from sin. The most antithetical thing to faith is sin in the heart and in the life. People are trying to live double lives and want to believe God. But the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We are told to abhor that which is evil. We are told to cleave to that which is good. Do you want to have faith? Get your heart clean. Let me give you some scriptures. Hebrews 3, verse 12. The Bible says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now notice this. Unbelief is not intellectual, it is moral. It doesn't come out of the head, it comes out of the heart. Beware! Beware! lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. There's nothing more debilitating, stultifying to faith than sin in the life. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's a great faith chapter. It says this, "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Now listen to this. "Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." What's he saying? He's saying, if you want faith, put your eyes on Jesus. But when you put your eyes on Jesus, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. Please listen. If you're having difficulty with faith, try repentance. There's certain things that always come in a particular order in the Bible. Grace and peace. Never peace and grace. Grace and peace, because you'll never know peace until you know grace. Believe and baptize. The Bible doesn't say be baptized and believe. Some of you need to get your baptism on the right side of your faith. And another order that God has given is repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. God says, "Abram, get away from these pagans. Get out of this pagan land of idolatry into a place that I will show you." You've got to be separated from sin. Now, why can't some people have faith in God as they ought? Well, the Bible tells us clearly, 1 John 3, verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." Let's give an example. You and your wife are having an horrendous argument, and you're both filled with bitterness and hostility and hatefulness, and you've said all kinds of hard things, and then you discover your baby is sick and has a high fever. And you say, "Well, we need to pray." And you and your husband get down on your knees to pray. Don't you feel silly? I mean, don't you feel silly? Do you know exactly what you know that you've got to do first? What? "Honey, I'm sorry, forgive me. God, have mercy on us." Why? You can't pray with that hostility in your heart. Why? Because your heart condemns you and you have no confidence toward God. Now, the root of faith, you've got to hear from God. Now, friend, the requirement of faith, you cannot practice faith and live in the land of faith and live in the land of idolatry at the same time. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see. The reward of this faith. Notice verses 2 and 3. God says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, let me tell you what faith is. By faith, you receive the blessings of God. You remember we said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see, by faith, man gives God pleasure. Our faith pleases God, and through faith, God gives man treasure. "According to your faith, be it unto you." Faith is the medium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven, just like money is the medium of exchange. If you want to go to the grocery store, you buy something, it takes money. You come to heaven to receive from God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. "For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. According to your faith, be it unto you." Now, what is the reward of faith? We are blessed by faith. By faith. Now, what did God do to Abram? Because he believed God. God said, "I'll give you a land." God did give him a land. God said, "I'll make your name great." And his name is great. His name is known the world around. Every blessing of God is appropriated by faith. Some of you here today need to be saved. How are you going to be saved? The Bible says it clearly, sweetly, simply, sublimely. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." God will save you today, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God. And He'll keep you saved if you will trust Him. Now wait, listen to me now. What is the reward of faith? Not only that you will be blessed, but the reward of faith is that you will be a blessing. Now don't miss this. Look in verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." It's a twisted gospel that is self-centered. Do you know what you need to pray today? "Lord, help me to believe you to get the sin out of my life so that you can bless me And Lord, make me a blessing. Abram became a blessing. He is a blessing to the world today. He became a blessing to his own family. He became a blessing to the Jewish nation because they came out of the loins of Abraham through his son Isaac. Abram is a blessing to the world because the seed of Abraham wrote the book that we're preaching from. He is a blessing to this church because he gave us, through his descendancy, according to the flesh, came the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God made him a blessing, didn't he? Friend, that's the reward of faith. We need to pray, Lord, bless me and make me a blessing. Lord, help me to be a blessing to other people. Let me tell you what the greatest blessing is. The greatest blessing is not to receive a blessing, but to be a blessing. And the greatest greatness is not to be great, but to make others great. That is the greatest greatness. And that's what God used this man, Abram, to do. No wonder he's the dean in the school of faith. Now, that brings me to the point. We talked about the root of his faith. We talked about the requirement of his faith. We talked about the reward of his faith. Now, alas, let's talk about the relapse of his faith. Did you know that even Father Abraham, I say, had a faith failure? That he had a spiritual blowout in his life? Now, you in chapter 12, go down to verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, here's Abram. God put him, he was exactly, precisely where God wanted him to be. He's in the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey, the land of promise, the land of plenty, and there's a famine in the land of plenty. There's a crisis in the land of promise. And he doesn't know what to do. And now, rather than believing God and looking to God and trusting to God, he goes down to Egypt because down in Egypt there is plenty of food at this particular time. Why was there famine in the land of plenty? It was a test. It was a test. Now, folks, the faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Would you want to fly on an airplane that had not been tested? Would you want to drive in an automobile that had not been tested by the manufacturer? Do you know the Bible says that faith is like gold? How do you know you don't have fool's gold? How do you know that you have real gold? Well, if a prospector takes his gold into the assayer's office and he does a chemical test and says it's real gold. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, if you would try gold to find if it's pure gold, wouldn't you want to try your faith to find out if it is real faith? Now, what should Abram have done here when there arose a famine? He should have prayed and gotten another word from God. Don't you think God knew where he was? Hadn't God led him there? Was he not obeying Almighty God when he got there? Yes. God fed Elijah with ravens. God fed the children of Israel with manna. And friend, you believe God, and don't you doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Now, here's this man, he has a relapse of his faith. And so many times, we just think, well, if I give my heart to God, everything's going to be fine. My wife and I got saved. Now our marriage is not going to have any more problems. And we discover we still have incredible testings and trials. We join the church and we say, well, now I'm in a little colony of heaven. All the sinners are out there and all the saints are in here. Oh, look, and we come to these difficulties, and we think, well, I thought serving God was going to be all honey and no bees. No. Abram has his faith tested, and he fails the test. Now, why did he fail the test? Well, you can see already the inkling of it. If you go back to chapter 12, verse 1, God said in chapter 12, verse 1, get out of thy country and from your kinfolks. But he didn't get out of his country and from his kinfolks. He took his father with him, Terah. He took his nephew with him, Lot. God said, you leave those kinfolks. It's just a little compromise. And God said, you go all the way to Canaan. But he stopped off halfway. Verses 4 and 5 tells us that he got Haran, and he stopped there for a while. He reminds me of a lot of folks, members of my church, this church. They're living faith, but they've got some kinfolks. I'm talking about spiritual kinfolks. Old habits, old ways, hangover sins. And you have not gone all the way. You've not gone out and out 100% for God. You're just kind of at a halfway house. You say, yeah, I really want to go to heaven, but I don't want to live like that radical Rogers is telling me to live. After all, I am saved. And so his first step, listen, was a misguided compromise. And then his second step was a misplaced confidence. A misplaced confidence. Now, he goes down to Egypt. And look, if you will, in verse 10, Abram went down into Egypt. Famine or no famine, he should not have gone down to Egypt. The Bible says in Isaiah 31, verse 1, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. Egypt is a pagan place, was in that day. It represented sin and compromise. And rather than depending upon God now, he's looking for worldly help. That's an amazing thing. He trusted God to get him all the way from the Ur of the Chaldees all the way to Canaan, and then he couldn't trust God to keep him once he got there. That's like so many of us. We trust God to save us, and then we can't trust God to keep us. You know anybody like that? Lots of folks like that. We trust God for spiritual things. That's what Abram did. And then we can't trust him for material things when a famine comes along. We can trust God for all eternity, and we can't trust him for tomorrow. Listen, misguided compromise, misplaced confidence, and then misappropriate conduct. Now notice now, he's beginning to go down. He's getting away from God. Who is it knocked so loud? A lonely little sin. Slipped through, I answered, and soon all hell was in. You won't believe what you're about to read in verse 11, except it's in the Word of God. Now look, if you will, in verse 11, and it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife. And they will kill me, but they shall save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Can you imagine a guy saying this about his wife? That it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. This rascal. I mean, this is Abram. How could he get so low? He says, sweetheart, you're so beautiful. The king of Egypt may want to put you in his harem. Now, if he finds out that we're married, he may liquidate me, so just tell the king that you're my sister. Now, that was half true. They were related in some way. But a half truth is a whole lie. You know that, don't you? But the worst thing behind that is the idea, the dastardly thing that he did. First of all, compromise, then the wrong confidence, and now this unspeakable conduct of this man. I'm saying that Abram had a blowout on the road to heaven. Now, what happened to him? That was the cause of it. What was the cost of it? Well, number one, folks, he wasted an awful lot of time. All the time that he was down in Egypt was wasted time when he was down in Egypt. Because, you see, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. At the judgment seat, Abram gets no reward for the time. But not only was it wasted time, a weakened testimony. Can you imagine the testimony? When that Egyptian king found out what Abram had done, he scolded Abraham for his duplicity. Can you imagine a pagan scolding a man of God? Saying, hey, how did you deceive me like that? What kind of testimony did Abram have to the king of Egypt? And he took with him Lot down to Egypt. What kind of a testimony did he have to his nephew Lot? I tell you, his nephew Lot got down in Egypt. His nephew Lot had a taste of Egypt. And do you know what happened to his nephew Lot? He never forgot it, brother. As a matter of fact, when Lot was given a choice which way he could go after there was a conflict between his herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen, the Bible says Lot lifted up his eyes and looked to the well-watered plains. The grass was lush. Well, he said, and the Bible tells us this, he said, that's just like Egypt. That's just like Egypt. And Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. You know where it began? With Uncle Abraham. I mean, the man of faith, you may be saved and you may be going to heaven, but you listen to me. You camp out in Egypt and your kids are going to get in all kinds of trouble. I mean, the testimony that you have, the junk that you watch on television, the places that you go, you are going down to Egypt. You're living like an Egyptian. And God may get you out of Egypt, and God got Lot out of Egypt, but he never got the Egypt out of Lot. Wasted time, wasted testimony when he's down in there. But not only in the area of time and testimony, but trouble. Did you know what he got down when he was down there in Egypt? He got two things, folks. Number one, he got wealth, and number two, he got a woman. The wealth he got, he picked up cattle. And later on, there came a range war. Before this, he was not a herdsman, he was a shepherd. He had sheep. He didn't have any cattle. The cattle came from Egypt. Well, what's the difference between sheep and cattle? Sheep browse. Cattle graze. Sheep can eat things that cows can't eat. Sheep just clip the grass. They've got two sets of teeth. Cows just have one. Did you know that? I read this. I'm not a farm boy. I just read this. You watch a cow. A cow will take long grass, put his tongue around it, and lift up his head, and with one set of teeth, he'll break off that grass. You watch a cow. That's the way I watch cows after this do this. They take that grass and they break it off. A sheep doesn't do that. A sheep just goes along just like your barber shears, just clipping that grass. Now, it takes a whole lot more for cattle than it takes for sheep. And so here Abram comes out, and the Bible says he's got all these cows. Now he's a rancher, not a shepherd. And what he thought was going to be such a blessing to him became a curse to him. And he got a woman down there. What was her name? Hagar, an Egyptian maid. She was an Egyptian. He later slept with her, produced a son, Ishmael, who is giving to the sons of Abraham trouble to this very day. And the trouble spot in the world is the Middle East because a man went down to Egypt and would not believe God and would not trust God. Had a blowout, a lapse of faith. Well, very quickly, notice the restoration of his faith. Go to chapter 13. It wasn't over with him. God was patient with him. He repented of his sin, chapter 13, verse 1. Number two, he remembered his form of faith. Verses 2 and 3 says he went back to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. He came back to his original condition. Friend, I want to tell you, God was patient with Abram. He was an old man, but he was a babe. He was a child in the faith, a spiritual child, and God now has to help him. And God does help him. He has repentance. He has remembrance. He goes back to where he was, and he has restoration. He laid everything back on the altar. Oh, listen to me. If you've had a relapse of your faith, listen to this verse. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? I'm going to tell you a real blessing. Did you know that the only place that you can read about Abraham's failure is in the Old Testament? You can't read about it in the New Testament? Did you know that? In the New Testament, when God speaks of Abram, God does not remember his failure. God remembers his faith. Isn't that wonderful? Is that not wonderful? And friend, I tell you, if you have failed God today, you can put that failure in the grave of God's forgetfulness. And the God that gave Abram a new start and changed his name to Abraham is the God who will give you a new start. God will give you a new name, a name written down in glory if you'll trust Jesus. Where should you put your faith today? You put your faith where God has put your sins, on Jesus. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Father, I pray that many today will pray and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sin and save me. Lord, I just pray for a great harvest of souls. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
We trust that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like to know more about how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then please go to our website at www.lwf.org and click on the Discover Jesus link for more information. If you would like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.